You folks were enjoying our meet and greet time a little too much this morning. I had to get Jason. I said, Jason, time for you to do worship. Oh, now? We're in Hebrews 11. We're finally out of verse 32. We spent 6 or 7 Sundays in verse 32 alone. And we were given examples of faith by the writer of Hebrews. And we're not even sure who wrote Hebrews. But we do know one thing for sure. It was the Holy Spirit who inspired it. And God is desiring to bring forth for us throughout the church age examples of faith in the Old Testament. Men and women of God who exercised faith and were blessed by obeying God and trusting God. And that never goes away. Here we are today, 2,000 years plus after Jesus, and we still must exercise faith. But this morning we're going to try to go through verses 33 through 40 in chapter 11 of Hebrews, and we'll perhaps finish chapter 11 today. That would be a milestone. But anyway, we'll try. Hebrews 11, verse 33 through 40. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mocking and scourgings, yes, and chains of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains, in the dens and the caves of the earth. And all these have obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. The writer of Hebrews there, he goes on and purposely named quite a few men and women of faith, but then he left out a whole bunch of women and men of faith. Great victories are in the promises of God, but we don't serve for victories. We serve out of faith and obedience. And it talked about their subduing kingdoms. Men like David, Joshua, King Asa, plus King Hezekiah, and others subdued kingdoms. Some were workers of righteousness. And then we have Elijah and Elisha, who are examples of this. Some sought the promises of God, wanting fulfillment, like Caleb, Gideon, and Barak. Then we have those who saw the mouths of lions closed. And that was Daniel and David himself. Some were thrown into fiery furnaces, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Others delivered from the edge of the sword. David was delivered from Goliath's sword. And Saul, the king, was also delivered. And Saul, Paul the apostle, was delivered. Moses was not afraid to confront Pharaoh. Elijah escaped Jezebel's wrath. Some were made strong in battle, like Sarah, Gideon, Abraham, Esther, and there were women who saw their dead raised to life, the widow of Zarephath, the Shunammite woman. and Christian martyrs of the church age, and sometimes read the Book of Martyrs, and it's astonishing what our forefathers have gone through. Many were victorious through faith, but some were called to suffer by being burned at the stake, being stoned to death. Isaiah the prophet was supposedly sawn in two, while other believers were called to wander in the wilderness and the deserts. Some were cast into prison. Some suffered beatings and scourgings. And as we move through the history of believers, our testimony of faith is not always fulfilled in this time we have here on earth. Some go on to be with the Lord with a hope of faith, never having received the fulfillment of the promises. So, to those who were promised deliverance, received deliverance, but it was in a resurrected body, many of faith suffered torture and death. And it still goes on today. There's more martyrs for Christ today than has ever been. And one of the most used ministers of Jesus was the Apostle Paul. Many believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Paul, you know, he started out persecuting the early church. He would throw some Jews into prison for their belief, for their following of Christ. But Paul was a chosen vessel, and he came to believe in Christ on the road to Damascus. So I want us to go through that. It's just good for us to go through what Paul went through on that road to Damascus. So turn to chapter 9 of Acts. When we have the account there of the conversion of Saul. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, and he asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he journeyed, and he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul, in my humble opinion, has just come from when they stoned Stephen. And I don't think Saul has been able to clear his conscience of the death of Stephen the way Stephen died in a glorious manner. But anyway, Saul, he's there, verse 5, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Saul, a brilliant man, quickly realizes God is talking to him from this bright light. And so Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And then Saul, Paul, interchangeable here, he hears the last thing he wants to hear, "I am Jesus." Wow. A time of reckoning for Saul. Now, goads, speaks of goads there, was sharp, pointed spikes set at the rear of a team of oxen, and it kept these oxen from kicking back against their burden or whatever they were being yoked up to do, and it kept them in line. So Saul's saying, the Lord says to Saul, "It's hard for you to kick against the goads." So Saul, verse 6, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Saul is quickly putting this bright light that he sees into perspective. He's getting an idea of what's happening as he lays there on the ground. And he says, who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? Many of us Christians receive our salvation, but there's a long gap of time between our time of our salvation to the time we realize, what would you have me to do, Lord? That can be years for some of us. But Saul is told, go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. Saul has acknowledged Jesus is Lord, and very quickly he seeks the direction that God would have him go in. And this indicates to me that Saul has been pondering the whole Jesus resurrection issue that was declared by Stephen the martyr. And Saul's whole life is changed in a moment. Verse 7, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground when his eyes were open and he saw no one. But they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. Now Saul, again, he is an alert, brilliant man, and he cannot deny this Damascus Road encounter. And so what does he do? He gets to Damascus, and he will not eat or drink anything, and he's there in prayer 3 days. Change of scene. Now we move over to Ananias, verses 10 through 20. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias, a man of God, he receives a vision from God. And we see here, God is not only working in Saul's life, but he's working in his people's life, and in particular, Ananias. And he says to Ananias, go where I tell you, go to Saul. For he is praying. And I have shown Saul, you will come to him so he might receive his sight. So here again, God is working both ends of this situation. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And there he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And then we hear, for I will show him, the Lord is speaking to Ananias, I will show Saul how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias, he resists. He's afraid of Saul. He's heard of Saul. He knows Saul has got persecution on the mind. But he hears the Lord tell him, Saul is a chosen vessel of mine. He will declare my name before Gentiles, before kings, and before Israel. Don't miss this part now. For I, God, will show Saul how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Saul, a chosen vessel, chosen to be a witness, chosen to suffer. chosen to suffer. How's that for the good life? But anyway, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Look at the turnaround that is in Saul's life. He goes from persecuting the church, the way, as it was called, to defending Jesus as the Christ. Shows that Saul knew the Word of God. He just needed a proper perspective. Saul has been shown he must suffer many things for his Lord Jesus. Notice there wasn't an option for Saul. And we will hear Saul proclaim later in his ministry, and he says something that has always stuck with me, I must fill up the sufferings of Christ. Wow, that's a big statement. And Saul, who is now called Paul, will list some of the sufferings in 2 Corinthians 11, 16 through 21. And we'll look at those sufferings. 2 Corinthians 11, 16 through 21. I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were, foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourself are wise. A little chiding there. For you put up, if someone brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face, to our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. And Paul is now about to declare some of the sufferings that he has been through since becoming a believer. And that's in 2 Corinthians 11, 22 through 33. And Paul says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more in abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. Paul, he will now reveal that he's been thrown into prison because he's a follower of Christ. He speaks of receiving 39 stripes. That's beatings 5 times. And in verse 25, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. And Paul is just categorically going through the things he suffered. I was beaten with rods 3 times. That's not the 39 stripes. That's a different type of beating. Stoned. And we read of that stoning. Perhaps this was when Saul was actually killed. And he sees a vision of heaven. And he talks about being lifted up into heaven. And we know Paul disliked sailing. He had a fear of shipwrecks. And 3 times he was had to abandon ship. And he spent a day and a night in the sea. And he was afraid of sailing, and we see that, for he will walk many times from city to city. In journeys, often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of wicked, or wilderness rather, in perils of the sea, and in perils of false brethren. In weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and in nakedness. Perils simply speak of danger. I was in danger of all these different things. Paul lived a life where he was constantly in danger. They were a way of life for him. Paul also knew what it was like to go without sleep. Ever had insomnia? That gets weary after about one night. He knew what it was like to be naked and cold. In fact, in one of his letters, Paul says, tell him to bring me my coat that he had left in some other city. Verse 28, besides this, other things what come upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches. On top of all that he was suffering and all the hardship he's going through, he is constantly worried about all the churches that he has been able to get going, has deformed, and the churches have come about because of his testimony. Verse 29, he says, who is weak? I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. He cites being rescued from the authorities as a suffering. Tells you the mindset of Saul. He was persuaded to escape Damascus, and he was let down in a basket through a window in the wall. It haunts Paul that he ran away from an opportunity to perhaps give his testimony. He speaks of escape as suffering. I kind of delight in escapes. In one of Paul's many letters, he declares, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He fully understood part of his mission in life was to suffer for Christ. I wonder what Paul would think about the prosperity doctrine that sweeps through the Christian church today. What would Paul tell us? Paul, when he submitted to Jesus on the Damascus Road, he had to choose whether or not to suffer for Christ. Wow. He will suffer. Have you been called to suffer wrong? Has it ever appeared to you, I'm being treated unfairly here. Things are not right. And we sometimes will complain to the Lord in prayer. Lord, this is not fair. What I'm going through is simply wrong. Paul, a chosen vessel to suffer. If you've been called to suffer any wrong, and we all suffer unfair, wrong things, wear your suffering like a badge of honor. You're honoring Christ with your suffering. Don't shy away from your suffering, even though it may be unfair and wrong. Amen. Be like the Apostle Paul. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father, I would pray that I would not ask why when sufferings come or when trials come, but I would ask why not. Lord, I don't want to be a silver spoon Christian. I don't want to avoid the trials and the difficulties that you have for me. I want to grow through them, Lord. I want to be faithful through them. And Lord, you have called us. Not only Saul have you called to going forward and suffering, and he lists the things he went through, shipwrecks and beatings and scourgings and all these different trials and tribulations. And he glorified in them. Lord, help us to see that you're making us into saints. Saints that will enjoy you forever. We have you forever when we depart from this life. So, Lord, let us embrace the sufferings that come because we're Christians. Not avoid them, but let us embrace them. It's a privilege, it's an honor to suffer for you, Lord, in any way. And sometimes we wonder why certain things are coming upon us, and sometimes it's simply for your glory that we suffer. Help us to bear up to those and mature through them and be men and women of God and men and women of faith. So help us, Lord, to accept everything that comes our way with your grace and with your glory. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to put us through difficult times, loving us enough to mature us in yourself. So help us to be men and women of faith. And we pray and ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.